Yeah. Yeah. No. And what I was saying, so what I was saying though, was like, you know, like people, like, I don't know, people get, you know, like they get on podcasts and then they just sit there and they say all these like artificial things. Right. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like they're always so complimentary towards one another. Right. And like, I get it, you know what I mean? Because like, well, they wouldn't be talking otherwise, but it's like way overdone, right? It's like more in the vein of self-promotion. But the reason I mention that is because when I was just telling you about, like, you know, my rant, smoking crack by the 17th Street Canal, and you were telling me about yours, right? I was like, oh, okay, cool, right? I get that. Like, that makes sense to me. Do you know what I mean?
It. No, and I love it. The title is cracking me up. I like it a lot.
You know, and you know, and you know the other thing, by the way, like, I just want you to know, like, I am not on any kind of amphetamine or anything like that. Like, because people always think that, right? Like, my, sorry, I'm continuing a conversation we started before you hit record.
No, I don't like it.
You know, and if anybody hears it, they're going to be like, what the fuck is this about? Right. But like, whatever, like, you know, deal with it. But my students, right, there were all these things they would think about me. Right. So the first thing, they always thought, they were always picking my brain. They were like, oh, come on, Key. Like I know you snort a little coke or you know, like maybe Adderall or what, you know, because I would like walk in math class and bouncing off the walls. And I do like a 20-minute rant about something that was on my mind that day. You know, like it might be about like the magic bullet, you know, like in the JFK thing, or it might be like, so 9/11, you know, like three buildings, two planes. What's mm-hmm. that? Right? Do you know what I mean? Right? And, you know, and it'd be like, what are you talking about? And I'd be like, just listen. This is more important than math, right? It's, yeah, because it is. It's an exercise in logic. It's like, you know, like, anyway, sorry. I'm off on a tangent. All right.
No,
anyway,
I love it.
Yeah. I could basically, like, if you let me, like, I could literally just do an hour where my mind would just... I'm not even kidding. Yeah, anyway, sorry. That's my water bottle, if you hear that. And by the way, like my neighbor who's dreaming of being like the next Immortal Technique, he turned off his music now. You know. By the way, to anybody listening, if you don't know a hip-hop artist named Immortal Technique, he's probably my favorite. You should go listen to his first two albums called Revolutionary Volume 1 and Revolutionary Volume 2. He's a phenomenal lyricist, right? And he talks about a lot of really great things. And actually he's like a dude who lives like a real life. Like he's totally independent. And he literally, there's a documentary about him starting an orphanage in Afghanistan with his own money, like cash, right? And you know, his lyrics are great. And you know, and I know people who will be like, you know, they'll be like, well, I don't like Immortal Technique's stuff as much as I like somebody else, because like when he raps, I know exactly what he's trying to say. I prefer the raps that, like, you know, I have to listen to 10 times and I'm still not sure what they're about. You know, mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, okay, yeah, there's a place for, like, you know, like abstract language and stuff. But like anybody who's ever written like poetry can, you know, will tell you this, that like when you're a young kid and you're writing poetry, you know, you'll sometimes write down phrases where you're not sure what they're mean, what they mean. You'll even do that when you're older, right? Or like sometimes you'll just write something because you're like, God damn it, I need something that rhymes with orange, right? Or something like that, right? And, you know, but like it takes a long time to be able to write something that's like poetic. But where you're actually saying something that you intended to say before you wrote a single word, right? You know, and anyway, wait, it doesn't really have anything to do with anything. Oh, well, you know, since I did mention Immortal Technique, let me just also mention that, like, and this is a crazy thing, but there were two times that I, like, tried to send him a message. So one time I sent him a poem on Facebook, and another time a message on Twitter, and both times that dude responded to me like right away, right? And and that was just super crazy to me, you know, because I don't know. Anyway, like, sorry, what were we talking about again?
No, We weren't talking about anything, and that is the most beautiful thing, because we were talking about everything, maybe. But I could say something when I, because I remember the exact second that I thought, wow, I need to invite that dude to my podcast. I really hope he agrees on talking to me, because that sentence, I'm going to read it out if I'm allowed, because it's your work. So yeah, you wrote, I'm writing this for my students, some of which are probably wondering where the fuck I went. And I was like, dude, I love it. It's honest. It's on the point. And then I somehow, I don't know, did a deep dive into your universe of words. Let's call it like that, because you're a writer. You're so much. And what I really learned is that it's completely fine to express yourself the way you express yourself, because I have the tendency as well, and people hate me for this. And as I enjoyed your writing so much, it reminded me of my own writing when I was younger, and I was like, I just love it. It's pure love. I have so much, I don't know, I had so much joy in reading your articles and everything, and I learned so much, because you're also very... let's say, unconventional when it comes to how do you treat your students and these kind of things. And that really inspired me. And I thought, yeah, you're fucking interesting. I need to know way more than what I knew, what I know now. So we don't really have a topic, and I don't think we need a topic. So you are like, a treasure of crazy ideas. I really, really like it.
Jeez, so,
we don't have no topic.
I'm really not good at taking compliments, you know, like, but I will. I just won't do it now. Like later, you know, later tonight, I'll be having a glass of wine and I'll think back on what you just said. And I'll be like, oh my God, there's finally one person who realizes how fucking great I am. This is amazing. Right? You know what I mean? Look, I have a fan. Right. No, because like,
but it's the same for me. Sure. I know that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, like I did want to tell you something, because my philosophy, like, I should say one thing. Like, I loved like the unschooling idea that you explained to me, which was like, basically, and it's such common sense, you know, like if you care about students, it's like, hey, you know what? Maybe your kid doesn't have like an illness. Maybe they're just fucking bored. So what would happen if you just let them do things that they really enjoyed? Because I've got this radical idea that when people do what they really enjoy, they work really hard and they throw themselves into it and they get really great at it. Right. So this was actually one of the ideas I used when I taught, which like the university didn't like, you know, but the real thing I think they didn't like, and I refer to it in the article you mentioned, I affectionately call it anarchy in the classroom. That's what I call it. Mm-hmm. And so I want to say one thing right now, like when people hear that word anarchy, like they freak out. Okay, because they've been told, well, if you use the word anarchy, it means that you want to overthrow the government. So you're a criminal, right? Or a potential criminal, you know, right? Or you want anarchy. Well, that's total chaos. That's no law, like, you know, et cetera, right? And that's all bullshit. That is a lie, right? That was invented by, you know, or at least promoted. Let's say it was promoted by like politicians and people in government and media. All anarchy refers to, as far as I'm concerned, when I use the word, is no hierarchy, okay? Like absence of hierarchy. Another way to think about that is no rulers, right? So that's my philosophical leaning, right? Does it mean that I want to go burn down like the US Capitol or the White House? No, it doesn't mean that. Right. It means like I have this philosophical view of the world where in my world, the part of the world I live in, for instance, when I was teaching, I'm happiest and I think students progress the most when there's no hierarchy. So as a simple example, you know, they wouldn't walk in the room and say, Dr. Martin, because I forbid them from it. I said, well, I mean, they would still do it, but it was to troll me. Right. Or they would call me Professor. Right. They call me like Professor Key. Right. But it was a troll. Right. Because they knew, no, I'm just Key. right? I'm the fucking weirdo hyped up on espresso, you know, who always dresses in black, right? And comes into math, you know, does 20 minutes of math and like 30 minutes of ranting or whatever, right? Because you know, if you understand a mathematical idea and you know how to communicate, you don't need 50 minutes like to explain an idea. But anyway, so what I wanted to say, by the way, is like this philosophical view I have, right? Basically, it's like this: as soon as hierarchy is present, everything goes to shit. Okay, we should actually probably put that in a meme. But let me give you an example of what I mean. Right? Like we could be talking about a corporation, right? Okay. Or we could be talking about a university, or we could be talking about a government, right? Now what happens? So let's look at an example. So an example would be like this. Let's say you have a group of very idealistic people, and they get this idea, and their idea is like, we want everybody on earth to be healthy. So we want to produce medicines that will, you know, like keep people safe and well and all the rest of it, right? And then what happens? Well, then, but a hierarchy is introduced into that corporation, right? Now what you have is like one person ruling another, right? And what happens is you have certain people who want the power. They want to be at the top, right? And the people in this world who want power are the exact people that you don't want to have it. So what winds up happening is you have a person at the top who just wants power, right? And you know, and what happens? Well, now their priority in life is not making people well. Their priority is selling a product, making money, getting more power, you know, like, you know, and they don't care what the fuck they release on the public, right? Like, oh, it made you sick. My bad. We'll take that off the market. But here, take this one, right? You know, same thing in a university, right? You have a hierarchy. And as the people who want power rise to the very top of it, and like I said, these are the worst people to have it, the intended function of the university gets destroyed, you know? And what is that function? It's debate. It's to allow people to speak freely in dissent, right? And exchange ideas so that they can practice thinking, right? So that they kind of figure out what their worldview is, right? And you know, like they might show up at college like really left wing and they might leave more moderate, or really right wing and leave more moderate, right? Or, you know, they might show up left wing or right wing and be like, you know what? No system fucking works. Fuck it all. I'm an anarchist, you know. But that's probably like wishful thinking. But anyway, but the point is, once you have this like sort of dictator at the top of a university and everybody competing to get that position, right? And, you know, and following orders, then the original intent of the university is destroyed, right? And it's the exact same thing with a government, right? Like the government, I mean, like I can only speak about American government, you know, but the basic intent was like, you know, we have all these protections, you know, to stop the government from ruling the people and blah, blah, blah. And it's all bullshit, but whatever. But let's just say it had an original intent, right? Okay. But in all these cases, whether you're talking about a government or you're talking about a university or you're talking about a corporation or just pick something, once hierarchy emerges, that institution begins to evolve, and it eventually evolves to the point where only two things are possible. The first is that you have a total dictatorship and everybody is subservient to it. Or the second is that people go, you know what, fuck this. And they quote unquote revolt. And then usually at that point, they actually make the mistake of just forming a new hierarchy and starting over, which is a ridiculous idea because you just saw that it didn't work to begin with. But, you know, that's the way people are.
The same with socialism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How many times socialism didn't work. Now we're trying it again. I think what's hilarious is, I don't know who said it to me, but it's not, it didn't came from my brain. Someone said, yeah, we tried right wing parties leading Germany. That didn't work well. We learned from it. Obviously, it did not happen again. Maybe at the moment it's happening again. I don't give a shit about politics because I don't really believe in it. And the this person said, but socialism, we tried so many times. It did not work out at all, but we're trying it again. Why? Such a bad idea. I don't give a shit what it's called. If it's socialism, it's a dictatorship anyway in the end. So,
like, so you know what's really funny? I have this student who I started mentoring when he was in high school, right? And now he just finished, like, I got him an internship at a government lab this summer, right? And so he's going into his second year of university, right? And I remember one day, like, we were on a walk and we were talking, and I found out that he was a communist, right? Like, wow. This is just like an American kid who grew up in a small town. And I'm like, no shit, you're a communist. And he's like, yeah.
How?
Yeah. And I was like, that's really interesting. And he told me this whole story about how he tried to join like this communist party, but they wanted him to fill out all these forms or something, or he wasn't old enough. And he had this whole, and it really pissed him off. Right. And I mean, and he said something to me like this, right. And this will show you what I was like with my students. Cause like, I'm not a communist. Okay. But I can listen to any idea, you know, I'll just pick their brain and be like, well, how's that work? How's that work? You know? And he said to me, he's like, you know, man, he's like, I don't understand socialists. And I'm like, really? You're a communist? And he's like, no. And he's like, because socialism is like, okay, you could smile. But communism is like, we could be blissful forever. So I don't get those people. No, it was awesome. It was awesome because I love that shit. Because I love that shit. Because my office used to be full of fucking lunatics, okay? And you know, where I live, you're not going to find many people that will openly admit I'm a communist. So I was like, okay, you can be the office communist. I'll be the office anarchist, right? You know, we'll get somebody else in here that, like, hates men or hates women or whatever. This is going to be great. Do you know what I mean? No, really, really. And then it's like, okay, so what? You hate everything I am, but that doesn't mean we can't talk. Fuck it.
That's so true. And this is what I really like about people. If they are able to do that, leave aside all that bullshit and just connect to the other human being at the other side of the communication. I really love that. And this is where the innovation starts and where, like, if you influence, I mean, you are always influencing your surrounding all the time, but the more open the people are to relax into this and to not go some egoistic, crazy, I have no clue how to express that in English, but if they're not so self-centered and not so, if their person is not the most important part of the conversation, but the conversation and the connection, then there is stuff coming out. I think that's quite interesting. But how cute is that? I really like it. Office anarchist.
And you know what my first question to him was when he told me, I was like, well, okay, but so how do you respond to things like, you know, Mao, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I ran off like, you know, like different examples of communism and the huge numbers of people that died, you know. I was like, how do you sort of explain that? And but his point was, well, it's never really been implemented correctly. And I was like, ah, that's an interesting line you're walking down, right? You know, but what you know, and so here's what I realized though, right, in talking to him, was like, okay, so he's a communist. I'm what I would call an anarchist in spirit, right? And what I realized though from talking to him is that here's the difference between me and him, right? He's like 18 years old, right? He believes that there are people in this world that have good hearts and will follow through on the good things they've promised people, right? And he believes they'll never be corrupted. He believes the people that rise to the top, you know, will not be power hungry maniacs that want to fucking, you know, kill everyone on earth or whatever, right? Or anyone who disagrees with them. And I believe that the likelihood of that happening, right, that good people rise to the top and stay in power is basically zero, right? That's not to say that, like, every once in a while, a decent person doesn't rise to the top, you know, but you know what happens when, you know, if you're a decent person who rises to the top of the government and you won't sell out your own principles and you won't go along with what the ruling elite want you to do, you know, well, November 22nd, 1963, that's what happens, right? you get a bullet in the head, you know, that hit you in the front and came from the back.
Yeah, it's right? crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. You know what's so funny? I remember it came up randomly one day. You know, this same kid, his little brother was visiting, right? Because he just, you know, he wanted to visit. And we got to talking about JFK, and I realized that they didn't know anything about it. And so I showed them a documentary. We were supposed to do math that day because, like, this kid and his little brother, they're both super good at math, you know, and I was supposed to do math. And then I was like, wait, you don't know anything about the JFK assassination? And we watched this documentary. And when they saw the Zapruder film in this documentary, I paused it. And I'm like, okay, you saw the kill shot? And I'm like, yeah. And they were horrified, right? And I'm like, where'd that bullet come from? And they're like, well, from the front. And I'm like, no, it didn't, right? I'm like, it came from the back, right? And then, right? And then I started an argument with them, right? You know, and they're like, Key, what you're saying is fucking crazy. I said, no, it's not. You know, and all I was doing, I wasn't even making an argument. I'm like, his head went back and to the left, so it's obvious the bullet came from the back. And I just kept repeating it, like propaganda, right? And they, you know, and they got angrier and angrier, right? And then finally I stopped and I said, good. You know, I'm glad you're fucking angry. You should be angry because I'm sitting here spouting bullshit at you. And that's exactly what your reaction ought to be when the media tries to convince you of something that's not true, when the government tries to convince you of something that's not true, right? You need to be able to think about it on your own, right? Without some fucking consensus of your friends or your family or whatever, right? Just analyze it yourself, use your own fucking mind. And if you think it's bullshit, then the most important thing you need is the backbone and the character to be like, I'm not going to fucking cave in. I don't give a fuck if I'm sitting in a room with 100 people and 99 of them are telling me the bullet came from the back. I know what the fuck I saw, right? It came from the front. You can all fuck off.
Yeah. I like it a lot. And it takes some strength to stay exactly at your point. Wait a second. Baby, kannst du das öffnen? Super, danke. I talked to exactly that topic yesterday to a friend of mine, and he was like, it's remarkable how often people tell you that you're wrong, and there are so many people telling you you're wrong, and you're still believing in your opinion. And I was like, dude, because I have eyes and ears, and even if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. Baby, bitte Licht anmachen. Sorry. Danke.
No, that's okay, because for a minute I was like, whoa. Wait, I don't understand what she just said.
Ah, nice try. Yeah, so I really think it takes a lot of strength to stay with what you really think is the truth. And the longer I've been doing that, like staying true to myself and to what I really, yeah, what my research showed me, the more people I convince to do the same, even if it's not the same result they have, blah, blah, but you know what I mean. And it's beautiful to see because then you are really talking. Before, you're just in a, like, either this party or that party, but there's no real exchange about stuff because everyone is just following some crazy idea of someone else. But really being able to say something like that, no, I saw it. I know what I saw. It was coming from that and that direction. That is some badass shit, I would say. Even if it doesn't sound so complicated. I dare everyone who is now thinking like, oh, I do this every day. That's good for you. High five. I love it. And everyone else who's lying to themselves right now, try it. It's addictive. You will love it.
Yeah, you know, like that's what happened to me. Like, you know, I mean, I'm not going to tell you the whole story of my life because that's a long story. But like, you know, like here's what happened, right? Like 3 years ago, I worked at a government research lab, right? And I earned a lot of money, and I was good at my job. Let's just say it like that, right? And you know, and when you work at a government lab, there's an unwritten rule. It's not really that unwritten. Right. But, you know, the rule is basically like, you know what, just stay off social media. You know what I mean? Like, because if you get on it and you make the wrong comment, you might look like you're endorsing a political candidate, and that can be a problem. And so just avoid it. Don't voice your opinion about anything. Right. And then, you know, like certain cities in America, like the whole COVID thing started, right? You know, at like the lockdowns and the masks and, oh, large businesses can stay open because they're essential, but small businesses, fuck you. Like you're out of, you know, close, right? Because you're dangerous, you know, and just all this like irrational bullshit. And then, you know, and then places like New York City just literally implemented a vaccine passport, right? You know, which was like, well, if you're not vaccinated, you can't go to this restaurant or you can't go here. You can't do that. But, oh, wait a minute. If we have like a big famous movie star, like coming to do a show or something, like they're exempt. Right. You know, and I saw that shit and I was like, you know, and I think every life has like a moment, right? I mean, there's a couple moments in every life, but one of them is like, if you see something going on that is like a serious grave injustice, right? You know, you have to make a decision. And what I mean by like something really serious is like, this is the kind of thing that you either decide, I'm going to take a stand. Like I'm going to speak out. I'm going to try to change people's minds. I'm going to try to show them what's going on. Right. And yeah, I know I'm going to lose my job. And yeah, like I know, you know, I'm going to lose my friends and all that, all of which I did, by the way. Like I have no friends, you know. So by the way, if you want to be friends with me, it'd be cool because like I don't have any. Right. Oh, I'm serious. I don't. You know, if you check it, like if, there's a post I wrote, like very first post, 16 years in a government cell. And it's not part of the post, but it's part of like the social media preview of it. And the thing is, and what it says is an introduction to me where I alienate everyone I used to know, right? Because when I wrote it, I knew that everybody I know is going to hate my fucking guts, right?
Yes. I feel
they do. Yeah, and they do. You know, wait, what the fuck was I saying? Oh, right, right. All right. And so then what happened is I was like, okay, you know what? Like this is like one of those things, like you either stand up now or you shut the fuck up forever, your soul dies and you just keep going to work and collecting a paycheck and put your, you know, head in the fucking sand and pretend like you don't see what's going on and you be a good fucking order follower so that you can focus on the important things, you know, like paying your fucking rent, you know, right? You know, and buying food, right? Because, you know, the future of humanity, that's not as important as your fucking paycheck. You know what I mean? So you have to make a choice. And so a lot of people choose themselves, you know? And it's ironic because they all thought they were doing it to help other people, but that was just the bullshit line that was fed to them, right? So that they could feel like they were good people, right? Yes. But there's this small minority of people, the lunatics is what I call them, and I'm one of them, who were like, okay, I already believe humanity is fucked anyway, and I already believe there's no hope for it, but that doesn't mean that I can't fight for it as much as I can, right? For, you know, as long as I can, right? Like you at least fucking try, you know, that way when you're like sitting on your deathbed, you can be like, you know, well, you know, I did what I could. It's up to you now, you know? And by the way, random thought, you know, I read this article one time and it was one of my social media posts because you were talking earlier. Like, I don't know if we were offline or not, but you said like I was honest about how I said things, right? Yeah. So there's this psychologist or whatever, and he wrote some he did some study about like what's the last thing people say when they're on their deathbed. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and it was all this like really generic trite shit that you would expect, right? And so I was reading the article and I was like, man, that's fucking disappointing. You know what I mean? Like, that's all you got, you know? It's your last fucking sentence on earth, and it's like, you know, in your sentence is like, I love you, you know, or your fucking sentence is like something like, it's like, it's like, I'm really sorry, you know, whatever. Oh. Right? Do you know what I mean? Like something like that. And so I did this post one time, like, you know, it's probably still on. Yeah, it is still up. And I was like, you know, guys, so this article's about what your last words will be. And after a lot of really deep reflection, I know what I'm going to say, like when I speak for the last time. And I'm like, you know, and then I said it and I'm like, would you please ask the sexy nurse to come back in the room now? Right. Right. You know, And it's one of those posts that it was pretty funny because people were like, here's what I'm going to say, right? Or whatever. Yeah. You know, but like, I mean, come on. Like, it's only death. Like, you know, can't you cry? Don't you want your last line to be like a joke or something?
Yes, I don't know. It would be beautiful, wouldn't it be?
Yeah. Yes. You know, you want to hear an awesome story? I'm going to tell you an awesome story, okay? Right. And I know we're not talking about what we're supposed to talk about. And I know I keep jumping from point to point, but sorry. Like, just
no, you gotta, go on. Go on, please.
Okay. All right. So I have a piece on my Substack, and it's called Sometimes Being Motherless is Awesome. Okay. Mm-hmm. In there, I talk about my experiences with my Uncle David when I was a kid. Okay. Now, my Uncle David was like, so first of all, he was like a drug addict. Right. And his profession was a roofer, right? Which where we were from in South Louisiana, like that's a really hard, I mean, it's a hard job anyway. But in South Louisiana, when you're roofing in the summertime, you know, it's like 100 degrees outside. And when you're on a roof, it's like, it's beyond hot, right? Sorry, you probably use Celsius, right?
Yes.
So 100 degrees Fahrenheit is really fucking hot. It's probably like 40. Celsius, okay. I'm guessing, like, I don't know. I should actually know, right? Like, I'm supposed to be the mathematician, but whatever. It's hot.
It's right? Fucking hot. Okay.
Yeah, it's really hot, right? And so this guy was amazing. My uncle was amazing, and this is why. So there were three things he was really great at. So one was drugs, right? He could use an unbelievable number of drugs every night, get really loaded, go out, chase women. But every morning he was up at 5 a.m. and he roofed for 12 hours a day and he'd party all night. Yeah. And the question is just like, when did this fucking guy sleep? And I honestly don't know. Right. The second thing that he was really great at was riding a bicycle. Right. And you're going to be like, what? But he used to ride his bike everywhere. He didn't have a car. Right. He rode his bike on the interstate. And I, you know, I don't know if like, that word makes sense, but those are like really busy highways. You know what I mean? Like where everybody drives fast, right? Like on the interstate. He used to ride his bike on the interstate, not on the side, like on the interstate.
In the middle.
Yeah. And you know, you think he was high? Yeah, just a little, right? And he got hit. He got hit two or three different times by huge trucks and had to have very serious face operations because, well, I don't want to be gory, but he still kept riding his bike. Right. And like, this is how good he was riding his bike. One day I was with my father and my uncle, and we were at my father's girlfriend's house, you know, because this is after my parents divorced. So we were all at my father's girlfriend's house. And then my uncle is kind of talking shit to my dad. You know, he's like, or maybe my dad was talking shit to him. But anyway, the point is they decided that they would race home. So my father's driving and my uncle's on a bike, right? And he gave him like a 2-block head start. So this is like not long, but not very far, right? And like literally, like my uncle got home like before my father did because he took a shortcut, right? But it was crazy. I remember we were in the traffic, you know, and we would kind of pass him and then he kind of pass us. And I was like, damn, this dude, I think he might beat us. And he did, you know, and then the third thing that he was really good at is like, he was good at art, you know, he would draw and everything. Right. So anyway, why do I mention this? Okay. So my uncle's dead now. Right. But shortly before he died, like I heard from my aunt, because I have almost no surviving family. Like, I think actually at this point, I have one surviving family member and it's my aunt. And she's crazy, but she's super interesting. Like, I'll tell you about her in a minute if you want. But anyway, so I'm talking to her and she's like, "Key, you know, Uncle David's really sick. You know, he's gonna, you know, die, you know." And I had just written the story, Sometimes Being Motherless is Awesome. Because it was basically about how my uncle kind of took the place of like a parent for me for a while. And like, not that he took care of me, but he was just there, you know? So he'd be sitting in the room high, you know, and we play weird games, like turn on a strobe light and throw playing cards into the strobe light, you know, and he was high and I didn't really know, cause I was like six, right? You know what I mean? But I thought it was really cool, you know? And then he looked at me, he's like, man, this is wild, right? And I was like, yeah, this is amazing, David, you know, right? Except the difference was he was high and I was just fucking crazy, right? You know, but anyway, the point is, so I find this out and I'm like, Aunt Susan, like, you know, like you got to read him my story or whatever. And she's like, do you one better? Why don't you call him? She gave me his number, right? And I talked to him, right? And he was telling me, he's like, yeah, you know, like my kidneys aren't working, my liver's not working. He's like, but you know, that's what happens when you live the way I did, you know? And I said, yeah. And I told him, I said, Uncle David, I don't think you were a drug addict. You know, like I know you think you were. You know, he's like, yeah, well, I was a functioning drug addict. I'm like, no, I think you were a dude who lived his life like the way he fucking wanted, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, like, I don't think you should, you know, right? I mean, you know what I mean? It's like somebody's about to die. And like, why should it be in their head? Oh, I wish I'd partied less. Do you really? You know, do you really? I mean, like, if you're about 60 years old and you're like, damn, I had too much fun, right? I wish I'd had less fun so that I could be 90 years old and not have any fun. Like, what the fuck is that? Right?
That's crazy.
So here's what's amazing. He goes to the doctor one day. Like, well, not the hospital. He goes to the hospital. The doctor walks in and says, I'm sorry. There's nothing else we can do for you. Right. Like, and literally tells him, you have suffered complete organ failure. You need to go home and wait to die. Right.
Oh, God.
At that moment, right, my Aunt Susan takes a picture of my uncle. Right. And she sends it to me. And the picture is my uncle sitting on his deathbed. And he's flipping off the camera. Like he's saying, fuck you.
Like, that's beautiful.
That's my favorite fucking picture in the world. It really is. And like, and I hope, you know, that like, you know, if I'm even lucky enough to be on a deathbed, you know, or something, right? Like, I hope I feel the same way, you know? But yeah, it's like, I love that story. And, you know, sorry.
It's really beautiful. No, I really like it. I'm super happy that you shared this with me because I really like it. I always imagine how I'm going to die. And of course, I'm not going to die how I envision it. It's like, what are the odds? But if just in case, I just want to be fucking alone in the middle of nature. And I just want to be in peace. And if I'm lucky, I really would like to take some drugs before dying. Just one last time. Yes, why not? And just one last time, why not? And I don't really want anyone around me. I just want to be fucking by myself, I guess now, but what do I know? But for me, that was some kind of, because I guess, I don't know, I lost my granddad not so long ago during Corona time, and he died like not alone, but in a hospital and like really... The last months or years were really like the opposite of human, life quality. God. It was just disgusting for me. I'm glad that he finally made it to the other side. They let him leave finally, you know. And just being able to leave whenever you feel like, even if it's because you partied hard all your life and your organs are failing, this is somehow beautiful as well, really. So... As long as you can just leave in peace and they don't try to keep you alive at all costs, that is so fucking disgusting.
Yeah, it really is, you know, and it's like, you know what sucks about it? You know, it's like, you know, the fucking reason they're doing it is money.
Yeah, right? Disgusting. So disgusting.
You know, it's like, here's a person who basically has no fucking life, right? And they probably like, you know, they probably want out. They're probably like, this is not life. Like suffering 24 hours a day is not life. Right. Yeah. And these fucking maniacs like do everything they can to keep them alive. And, you know, yeah.
It's and really it is just death. As you said, it's just death. It's not the end of the world. It is just death. And everyone who, get familiar with near-death experience, different kind of drugs and everything. This is quite an adventure to die. So I'm really looking forward to finally die for real and to see the whole story that is then unfolding. And it's not like that I don't enjoy my life. I really hope that I live super long, that I have millions of grandkids and all these things. But dying for me is like giving birth. It's awesome, dude. Let's be happy for each other. And all this crying, I really do understand, because yeah, we all had great times together. Now the person is gone, but the person is not really gone. I swear to you, I can communicate with my dead grandpa. And I miss him. I miss his body. And I remember how he smells. And I really miss that. I grew up with him very close. So I miss his body, his physical appearance, of course. But he himself, he's still there. And the communication is not lost. So I'm just curious of everyone in my family who will be dying before me. How is the communication then? Because I think there is a difference in how the spirit or the soul is communicating then with you, because it is not bound to this 3D body and world. And that changes a lot in communication. It's way more open then. So I think death is something so fucking interesting. Of course, people are so afraid of it, but this is propaganda, because in reality, death should be just as cherished as giving birth. It should be a party. It's worth partying for that, I think. But I don't know. People don't do it somehow here.
You know what's interesting? Like honestly, the way I hope I die, because like I'm not into suffering. You know, I don't like that. Like I just want like. I'd be very happy if I just went to sleep tonight, you know, because I don't sleep, by the way. But if I went to sleep and then I just didn't wake up, like that would be awesome, you know.
Yes.
And you know, for most of my life, I still like I go between two ideas, right? You know, like what happens when you die? Like one idea is like fucking nothing. All right. Somebody turns off the light and it's fucking over. Right. And be thankful that it's fucking over, because living on this planet is not that fucking great. Right. You know, and that's like one view. Right. But the other view is like, well, what if right at the moment you're dying, there's this brief moment where your brain is still like functioning and it induces some kind of dream. Mm-hmm. Right. And so like the last thing you have is like some kind of dream. And somehow, you know how you can have a dream that's like, it's probably only a couple seconds long, but it feels like it's forever.
No, tell me.
You know, well, yeah, like a lot of times when people are dreaming, in reality, it happens for a very short period of time. Mm-hmm. But from your perspective, it seems like it lasts forever.
Yeah, right? Days, years sometimes. I lived different lives in my dreams. It was crazy. And I woke up and I'm like, oh, this is my life?
Yeah. Like, you see, okay, here's how I know this. Here's how I know this, right? I mean, people have done studies, but whatever, fuck studies. I don't care about that. The reason I know it is because like the way I normally sleep is like after I sleep about 2 hours, I start waking up. Okay. And then what happens is I'll fall asleep again and then I'll wake up and it'll be like a minute later. Like, I'm not kidding. And I'll be like, damn. And then fall asleep and then be another minute, you know, or 2 minutes. But every time that happens, it's like I'll have these dreams just about whatever, and they seem really long, right? But I know, like, as a matter of fact, that when I look at the clock, I'm like, damn, that was 1 minute. You know what I mean? Because, you know, because the whole dream in reality wasn't even a minute, right? Because I needed time to fall asleep, right? Whatever that was. So however long I was actually dreaming, it seemed a hell of a lot longer than like the time that actually elapsed. You know what I mean?
So true.
Right. Yeah. And so the idea is like the other thing I was thinking about was like, so what happens if like right as you're dying, you start dreaming and you have this dream, right? But it just doesn't fucking end because then you die or something. But somehow the dream, you know, it goes so long that it feels like forever. And, you know, right. Like that was the other thing I thought of. You know, me personally, though, like, death will be cool because I won't wake up every fucking minute. Like, I'll just, it'll be like the one time in my life. It's like, damn, I finally got 8 hours of sleep. This is fucking great. Right. Do you know what I mean? But no, and I had this other thought, you know, like, so this is a really weird story, right? It's not weird. It's kind of weird. So I was like, maybe this was when I lived in England, and I was on like a trip to Japan for a conference, right? And, you know, and I, you know, in those days I used to just go wherever and be totally unprepared, you know, like when I got to Japan this night, I got there at like 2 a.m. I had no Japanese currency, and I suddenly discovered that the town I was in, like, people didn't speak English, like, at all, right? And I was like, damn, right? And so I remember wandering into this hotel and just trying to mime to this Japanese guy, like, showing him English pounds and being like, see this, right? English pounds. Like, I need yen, right? You know, and I was, and he was just looking at me, smiling, and I was like, you know, and then finally somebody paid with Japanese currency, and I went, and I pointed, and I went, that's what I need, see, and I'm waving the English, and he went, oh, you know, and then he gave, we traded, right? And so then I had money, right? But anyway, the point is, so when I used to go to conferences, like, I didn't like most academics, right? Like meaning like 99% of them, I just thought were assholes. And I didn't want to spend time with them. You know, I didn't want to talk to them about my work. Not really. Like, I'd give my paper. I'd be like, there it is. Go read it if you want. Like, you know, I'm not interested in, like, you know, your fucking political opinions, you know, on the situation in Europe or whatever. Like, I don't care about all this, right? You know, or some story about some shithead that didn't reference you, right, and give you the proper respect or, you know, whatever, right? So, like, literally, I'd be at a conference for a week, and I would only go to it for 30 minutes, and that was like the 30 minutes where I gave a talk. And when my talk was over, I would fucking walk out, and I would go do something else. Okay, now, but in this case, right, I'm in this town in Japan, and like, and you know, I walked around a little, but it's like, and by the way, I don't really need to talk to people, you know what I mean? So I'm like, all right, whatever. I just spent a lot of time like in my hotel room, like thinking, right? And I would go down for dinner, in the hotel restaurant, and the reason is because the first night I was there, I needed to eat. And you know, and the menu is like in Japanese, and I'm like, you know, and I'm just praying that I don't pick like seafood or something like that, right? Like some kind of raw thing. I'm like, I just want something simple, and I just, you know, and I pointed, you know what I mean? I pointed, and it turns out that I picked chicken curry, like, right? And so that first night, I was like, oh shit, this is chicken, fuck yeah, right? Like, cause I just wanted something simple and like, and what was normal to me. Right. And so, okay. So then I was like, yeah, I'm not rolling the dice again. So I ordered the same chicken curry every night when I went to eat, like the one time a day that I always eat, you know? And then, you know, and I walked around a little and like, I just, you know, observed things, but here's the thing. And this is what it has to do with death. Cause you're probably like, what's this have to do with death? So I spent a whole week where I didn't talk to anyone, right? Except at the very end, and I'll tell you that in a minute. But, and I'm sitting in this restaurant in Japan, and suddenly it hits me, even though I'm like in my 20s, right? It hits me that I'm okay with dying, right? And it's not like a suicidal thing, right? It's like, okay, in my life, I was struck by the thunderbolt and fell madly in love with most beautiful woman I ever met, you know, and we were almost married for 3 months, by the way, but different story, right? Yeah, no, you know, that's real passion, goddammit. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I love it.
You know, so I'd had that, right? I knew heartbreak, right? When she left, right? And by the way, like a lot of European people will be like, okay, did you cheat on her too much? You know, like, not did you cheat on her? Did you cheat on her too much? Right?
Yes.
And no, and I want to say for the record, I never cheated on her, period. Right? Because I've had that conversation before, like with, like, especially with Europeans. And like, they'll hear like my marriage dissolved, like, oh, you cheated on her too much. And I'll be like, no, I didn't cheat on her at all. And it'll be like, oh God, I'm so sorry. You know, like somehow it's much worse. Because, but anyway, like, yeah, yeah, I actually meant it when we got married and I told her I only wanted her. But anyway, right. But the point is like, so I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, I knew great love and I knew great heartbreak, you know, and I knew great loss, you know, like my sister died at 22, you know, when I was 25. So I experienced that, you know, I went through divorce, I rose to the top of my profession, you know, meaning that I got to a point like where I realized like, oh, if I want to stay at Oxford, all I have to do is play nice and get along with people. And I'll probably be able to do that or somewhere equivalent. Right. So I got to the top of my profession. Right. So sorry, because I don't want to interrupt myself. Right. You know, it's like I knew great love and I knew great heartbreak and I experienced tragic loss through death. I rose to the top of my profession. I got to see a large part of the world, at least like enough of the world for me. You know what I mean? And I was only like in my 20s. And I said, you know, and then I'd made some art, you know, I played music in nightclubs and things, you know. And I was like, yeah, I'm sure there's more to do and more to see, but you know what I mean? But if I die here in Japan or whatever, like it's going to be all right. You know, I'm not going to be sitting there going, oh, but if only there were more time. I'm like, nah, I've kind of seen enough. Do you know what I mean? Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. But it wasn't like a suicidal thought. You know what I mean? Oh, but anyway, so I told you I didn't talk to anybody that week. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. Okay. Except two people, right? So first thing was I was doing an email check and I had my headphones in and I was listening to this great punk CD that I had just gotten. And one of these fucking academics that like, he was just the perfect example of the type I hate, right? He's like so sensitive and blah, and well-dressed and like all this bullshit, right? And he literally hears my headphones, right? Because it's a punk album, right? And he kind of motions to me and I'm like, and I pull him out. I'm like, what? And he's like, could you turn that down, please? And I'm like, what? You know, and he's like, it's hurting my ears. And I'm like, dude, my headphones are hurting your ears. You know what I mean? Right. And I just look at him and I'm like, no, I'm not going to fucking turn it down. Now, shut up and like, look at your email. Right. You know, and then right after that, I got off and I just looked at the computer and I left because I was like, this is exactly why I don't go to fucking conferences. You know what I mean? Like, this is why I show up and I give my talk and I fucking leave because of people like that. Right. You know, so that was the first time I talked to somebody that week. The second time was when I was leaving the hotel. Right. Like I had no money. Right. Like, because my ATM card, my bank card, it wouldn't work anywhere. Right. And so I go to the front desk and I'm like, you know, and I'm miming, I'm like, well, I have to leave. I have to pay, you know, but my card hasn't worked anywhere. I don't know if it's going to work here. And I fucking kid you not. The guy at the desk looks at me and he goes, oh, yes, sir. You can pay here. Your card will be fine.
Right? Oh, that is so cute.
Right? And then he takes the card and he swipes it and I'm out. Right? But I'm like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, I see. So like when I got to pay the bill, everybody understands what I'm saying. Right?
Yeah. All of a sudden, yes, of course.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I was kind of like, people are the same everywhere. You know. But yeah, no, it's a weird death story. I don't know. It's like basically I had a week of silence, which wasn't bad.
And it's incredible.
That was my big takeaway. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
It's yeah. incredible. And it's, I think I would imagine if I would be okay with dying right now, I would live life differently maybe. But it's good if you're in the position where you can say that you did the things you wanted to do. I mean, a part of me is at the same point. And if I would not have a kid, I would be pretty much okay with leaving right now. But I really want to see my grandkids. So
oh, yeah.
I have to stay some more. Really?
Yeah. What's it? You know, I know this is like a really generic question, but like, I don't have kids. I'm curious. Like, what is it like, you know, to have a kid?
Oh, I can tell you exactly what it's like, because my favorite thing is, I'm going to share this with you, and I never share that publicly, but it's interesting, so I'm going to say it. So one day, I think it was last year, around that exact time, I took a quite good amount of rooms with a friend at my place, and we were really like in peace. The sun was shining, we were laughing our asses off, and we went deep into different topics. So we were really working on ourselves. It wasn't just laughing and all good. We were also crying deep releases of crazy stuff that was stuck inside. And we were all the time outside in the sun and just enjoying nature and everything. And after, I think, like 3 or 4 hours, I was like, dude, let's go inside. I'm starving. So we went inside. I was sitting down on my couch and I was looking around, because I felt like, wow, I mean, I've been here for quite some time in this house, but for me, it looks so different. And then I realized what it was. There were paintings made by a kid at the fridge. And I was like, who the fuck lives here? And then I remembered, like, it is my child. I'm a mom. And oh, I had, wow. And for like 4 hours, I had this, it was only me. And the work I was doing with my friend, you know? And when I came back inside, I was like, oh my God, I have a kid. That is crazy. And I never, ever was in the situation forgetting about being a mom. That was the one and only time in my life. I want to experience it again, because I cannot imagine how it is to not have a child. But in this time, it gave me a sense of this is how it is. I cannot really say how it is. It is like you can't allow yourself to be down. You cannot be sick, or you cannot die tomorrow. It's just a huge ass responsibility, but it's in a good way, a responsibility in a good way, because you really want to see what this person is, what this human being is developing, and how he's growing in his ideas. You don't want to miss anything. It's like your favorite TV show is also your most annoying thing that you have in life, but you don't want to miss any second. Like, you want to really, it's like an addiction. I'm really addicted to my child. It smells good. It looks good. It's cute. It's funny, you know, and they're so much fun. If you raise them right with proper respect, not them to you, but you to them, like you respect them, like they are decent human beings that have brain and heart and soul and everything, they really grow up, and most of them are fucking hilarious. So I'm hearing jokes I've never heard, and I love laughing. That is just my number one goal in life, to laugh as much as possible. And this dude is making me fucking laugh every day. And this is what I can say. It feels like you have a second you that is so different from you, but so similar, so connected. You can read the thoughts, you can read the face, like, yeah, almost everything, I would say 99%. I think it's fucking crazy. It's such a fucked up concept. I cannot, it's just crazy. And just the part of being pregnant, I always felt like I have an alien inside of me. What is that even? And people were like, yeah, you're getting used to it and blah, blah. Dude, the fucking whole 9 months, I felt like, who invented this? I have a human being inside of my belly. It is moving. This is not normal. Who invented it? It's fucking crazy. I was super happy with being pregnant, but I was way more happy when the baby popped out and it wasn't living inside of me anymore. Like, what is that? There's a human being living inside of you? I can't. Still today, it really fucks me up mentally. It's just so crazy. The whole thing of parenthood and everything, it's just, it's a crazy ride, I would say. But I love it. I can just recommend. Make as much kids as possible, because they are fucking cool if you raise them with, love and all. I can just recommend.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I told you I have like a small number of people that like my writing, but there's one of them that like, you know, I mean, this was an interesting progression, but she read this thing I wrote and she was like, oh my God, this might be the best thing I've ever read. And then she's like, you should totally have kids.
Yes, I thought the same.
Right. And I was like, and so I said to her, I was like, what the fuck? Like, what are you talking about? And she's like, Key, there need to be more people on Earth that say this kind of stuff. Have
exactly.
kids.
Exactly. Exactly. You know? This is what I was thinking. Make more of yourself, please, because this kind of authenticity and honesty and, yeah, a realistic approach to life without this propagandized bullshit, we need way more of this. The same exact thought I had when I was reading your stuff.
I mean, it's super nice to hear. You know, there's this Mark Twain quote. I don't remember how it goes exactly, but it's something like, I could live for 6 months on a good compliment. Right. And, you know, and I will now, by the way, I'll be alive for the next 6 months.
That's good. Right? And then please ping me. I will give you another one.
No. So if you want to do another podcast in like the next 6 months, I'll be around. Right.
We will do that.
But the thing is like, it's, you know, like it was a weird path, right? Like I keep going in these tangents, and now I'm going back to like an earlier thing where like when all of the tyranny was going on with COVID and I was working at a government lab and I was like, well, this is one of those moments for me, you know, I have to speak up. And so I started speaking up on social media, right? Like specifically on LinkedIn. And the reason it was LinkedIn is because I was connected to a lot of policymakers and I was trying to change their minds, right? And I got more and more active, and then I started to meet a few brave souls who connected with me, and you know, and they could see all this, you know what I mean? And then when my employer finally said, like, well, if you don't get vaccinated, you're going to be fired, right? That's when I, you know, they denied my medical exemption. They asked for more information. Let me put it that way, right? And they were going to keep asking for more information. And I don't want to turn this into a bitter COVID rant, so I won't. But the point is, it became clear to me they weren't going to accept it. So I resigned and I took a job doing something I always loved, which was teaching. And I also chose a really small town, super small town, like population 900 people, because I wanted to get out of the big city. Because I was like, I don't know if society is about to collapse, but if it does, I don't want to be in a big city, right?
Yes, no way.
You know, and then once I had made that choice, right, I remember what happened was my first semester was over and, you know, somebody said to me, like, you're going to go crazy if you don't find an outlet for, like, you know, your anger over the COVID thing. You know, because I had a career I spent. I spent 27 years building this career. And now because of some, you know, fascist union between corporate entities and government, like it was over. Right. And I was like, that's not cool. Right. And, you know, so I had a lot of like anger and just a lot of things I wanted to say. Right. And that's when I started, like, you know, my Substack. Right. That was why I did it. And once I started writing things, what I realized was like, because I made that decision, which was a really hard decision to make, you know, like nothing pisses me off more than like anonymous assholes on social media who go, oh, they tried to tell me to like put this in my body. And I said, fuck you. You know, and it's like, yeah, you probably didn't even do it, because if you did, that wouldn't be your fucking story. You know what I mean? Like when somebody's telling you like you're going to lose your ability to pay your fucking bills. You're like, you might not have anywhere to live, you know, like unless you do what we tell you. And then you say, sorry, I can't do it. Right. Like, you know, the story isn't, I told him to fuck off, you know, bullshit. You know, you're on an anonymous account and you're just, you know, being a troll. Right. But the point is, once I did that, you know, and I left the big city and I started writing, I started getting more honest. You know what I mean? You know, in the early days when I had my Twitter account, and I still believed that Twitter was a good way to promote things, which is ridiculous. I don't believe that anymore. But
no, it's not working.
Yeah, it's fucking horrible. Like my last tweet was like, because it'll just show you what I think of Twitter. My last tweet was like, "Yo, Elon, give me a free blue check mark because I don't feel like paying for it. Thanks in advance." Right. Because, you know, it's like, yeah, I'll just tweet at Elon. I'm sure like I'll just get that free blue check mark now. Right. But anyway, you know, but then at one point I realized, I'm like, well, you took the first step. The first step was like, fuck you. Like, you're not going to tell me what to put in my body. That was the principle. You know, I believe in bodily autonomy. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, you know what else I believe in? I believe in free speech. And it was like, I'm on this path and I've chosen it. And now there's no going back. You know, it's like how way leads on to way, right? Like,
yes.
Like what? Yeah. Like, yeah. What is that? That's like that Robert Frost poem, right? The road not taking. And he's like, but knowing how way leads on the way, I doubted if I should ever come back. Right. That kind of thing, you know? And then I was like, okay, like I'm a free speech absolutist. I'm going to illustrate that in my writing, like implicitly, you know, but like, I'm also, you know, I'm going to speak up about things that I think, you know what I mean? And of course, and then it got me in trouble at my teaching job. Right. You know, and of course you read the thing. So, you know, I was accused of being unprofessional. And my first response to that was, of course I'm unprofessional. Like, you know, like you don't need to do a fucking investigation. You could ask me. I could help you close your investigation. No, you know what I mean? Like, I could help you close it in under a minute. You know what I mean? Right? You know,
and I love it.
Like, right? And it took these fucking people like 16 days, right? Because they were trying to verify if what I was writing on Substack was true, right? Because I had these two posts that they really didn't like. Right. One was called Everybody Dies at the End, which is fucking hilarious. Right. Mm-hmm,
it is. I have it open. I love it.
Yeah. Come on. Tell me the fucking dog on the train track isn't hilarious. Right. Like, you know, like, oh, no, this little puppy forgot to fill out his course evaluation. Choo choo. Right. You know. Right. Because I was trying to get my students to fill out their course evaluations because mm-hmm. they never want to. Right. And so I just started sending out all these ridiculous things. Right. Like about that. And I left one. I actually left one out. Like the way it ends is it's like, well, there was another meme I made, you know, which was hilarious. And it was about a terminally ill child. But I'm trying to keep this in good taste. So I'm not going to show that to you. You know, but they hated that one. And then the other one they hated was first one to kill me wins. Right. And first one to kill me wins is hilarious because in there's a picture of a shirt. Okay. That this very brilliant young woman made who was one of my favorite students. And I still fucking love her to death. Right. She's not majoring in art, but she's a brilliant artist. Okay. And she made the shirt one day because I had this idea for the students, like when they would come in my office, right? I had like a popcorn maker, you know, I had free water, free snacks, you know, like, you know, art supplies and stuff. So students were always coming in and they would just like make art, like whether they drew on the board or I had this whole stack of like t-shirts, right? And like students could make their own t-shirt. And I would help them come up with a concept sometime if they didn't know what to do, you know, and they were, of course, they were all these very like, you know, rebellious shirts. Right. But she made one of my favorites of all time. Mm-hmm. And like you can find a picture of it, but I'll just describe it for your listeners. It's like, it's a shirt and the shirt says like, I killed Key and all I got was this stupid shirt. And it's in like red ink and it has like blood stains on it. You know, it looks like it's written in blood. Right. And, you know, and so I wound up posting a picture of it. Right. And I was like, this is the funniest shirt ever. And, you know, and I cracked jokes about it. And basically what I told my readers was I was like, hey, you know, like, cause I was talking about how like, hey, you know, you guys should subscribe, et cetera, so that I can become famous and forget that I ever knew any of you, right? You know, and then you'll all sit around and talk about like what an asshole I always was and how sad it is that a no talent hack like Key Martin can like become rich and famous or whatever, you know? And then I say like, maybe one of you will even try to kill me, right? And I'm like, and if you do, here's what you win. Like you win, right? Like you win this fucking shirt, right? You know, and it, you know, and the post was fucking hilarious, but like, what did I get back from the university? Like about 2 weeks later, I'm not kidding. Like, you know, a 4-page letter, right? And almost all of the letter is like quotes from those two Substack posts, right? And then they're like, you know, like you're encouraging violence, you're encouraging like suicidal ideation, right? You know, or your meme with the puppy dog on the train track is horrific, you know, and you did it even after the student told you not to, and, you know, because I described how the student was like, oh, I loved your meme, you know, and she made this comment. She's like, and you know, Key, it's not like you're using puppies. And then I was like, oh my God, puppies, that's a good idea, right? Do you know what I mean? No, and you know, and so what was so funny is like, you know, like I when I read their letter out loud, okay, the letter was hilarious. Like it was hilarious because it had so many quotes from my post, right? You know, and it was, right? You know, and it was this letter about like, you know, and it was like, you did all these things are horrible, like, but you're entitled to a hearing. You should come and defend yourself, right? And it, you know, and explain yourself. And I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that. And that's when I resigned, right? You know, because like, I'm not going to explain my comedy, right? I'm not going to take my post down, you know, and I'm not going to concede the point that like, I'm encouraging students to commit suicide. No, the reality is many, many college students want to kill themselves. And I talk them out of it by making jokes about it. Exactly. Basically letting them know, hey man, I'm just like you. Like we're in this shit together. It sucks, but hey, you know, at least you're not alone. Right. But when I read the letter out loud, I was reading it to a friend. I started laughing because I was laughing. I was like, this letter is hilarious. You know, and most of it was because of my jokes. But what I remember thinking was, whoever had to type this letter up, right? There's no way they weren't laughing, right? You know what I mean? Because it was just too funny, right? And, you know, and anyway, and so, I don't even remember what the hell I was talking about, but, you know, no, that's what it was. I was talking about being on a path. So it started with like, yeah, I'm not getting your vaccine, right? And then when this happened, and it was like, you know, like, I was like, no, you're not going to infringe on my right to freely express myself, you know, but that to me is my number one issue in life, because I believe that if expression is not absolutely free, art dies, for instance. And if True. Art dies, there's a strong argument that humanity dies, right? True. You know, and that's just not the world I want to live in. You know, and so that's my number one issue. So then I was like, okay, you know, and so then I remember I actually updated my LinkedIn profile, and, you know, and if you actually look at it, you'll see my last job, I say I resigned over the natural right to bodily autonomy. And then my most recent job, I say I resigned over the natural right to free expression, you know, and because I remember thinking I'm not ashamed of it. You know, like I know I should hide it, right? Because nobody's going to want to give you a job, right? you know, they're going to look at you, you're going to be like, oh God, it's one of these people. He believes in natural rights. You know what I mean? But like I do, you know? And I just remember thinking, well, you know what? Yeah, I could just hide what I think and I could hide the truth, or I could tell the truth. And what if some kind of miracle occurred and I wound up in like a situation where I could be myself 24 hours a day and pay my bills. Like how amazing would that be, right? Mm-hmm. Like if I could just say whatever and I didn't have to worry about being fired and I didn't have to worry about being canceled, right? You know, you know, because like they're just words. You know, like if I'm articulating an idea, that's all it is. If you don't like what I say, then you can say, fuck off, Key. I hate your idea and here's why. Like, what the fuck is the big deal? You know what I mean? It's not like I'm walking up to somebody with a gun, you know, and I'm like, now recite the First Amendment immediately or I'll blow your brains out, you know? And by the way, I don't even really mean to bring up the First Amendment or the American Constitution, because like I said, they're natural rights. It's got nothing to do with any fucking system of government whatsoever, right? So I don't want people to think this is like an American thing. It's not an American thing. It's a key thing, right? It's just a thing I feel, you know? sorry, you probably didn't ask for that, but
you know what? I never ask for anything, to be honest, because I never prepare questions. I just want to hear what people have to say in that exact moment, because I think there's a lot of beauty in just what we are doing right now. I don't have any kind of expectations for you at all. No, I don't even have questions, to be honest. I just enjoy our conversation so far. So all good. But yeah. I really need to be the party pooper. I need to bring my kid to bed now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, as soon as I hear the word butt, right, you know what that's like? That's like, okay, like I'm going to do it from my point of view. That's like you're talking to a woman and she's like, I love you, but you're like, oh, I don't want to hear the rest of it.
The rest I don't want to hear. No, you know what? I wanted to tell you that in 6 months, when the compliment is wearing off, I would like to see you again.
Yeah. No, like anytime. I had a lot of fun. You know, something that people know about me, like, which I should be ashamed of, but I'm not, is like, I love having an audience, you know, like, but it has to be the right audience. Do you know what I mean? Like, I have to feel some kind of connection, you know, like, it's like if you're in front of people and you crack a joke and then you see like their eyes light up and you see them kind of smile and then you think, ah, I got these motherfuckers now, right? Like, now I know exactly what makes them laugh. And then you just keep going, right? And it's weird because even though like we're on a computer, like I still feel that, right? You know, I had a great time because I love to hear myself talk, and I especially love it when people laugh at what I say. It makes me feel really good about myself if I make people laugh. So I'd love to do it again sometime. Can I just say to your listeners, you know, because I mean honestly, your kid's not that important. Like, you know, he can wait. But
okay.
Mm-hmm. But when Alex first asked me to do this, you know, like I'd been asked before, you know, and I always like I didn't say no. I just tried to get out of it, you know, by like giving vague responses or whatever. No, really, right? Mm-hmm. And the first time Alex asked me, I did the same thing, and then she sent another comment. And I was like, okay, like DM me, because then I thought you wouldn't, you know.
Right? But I was already obsessed with you, so.
Yeah. And then you DM'd me, right? And I was like, oh, I know how to get rid of her, right? I've got 5 questions. Question number 1, is it an absolute free speech zone? You know, and I don't remember what the questions were. But it was like these 5 questions. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm sure I won't get the right answer to one of these, right? But then all the answers were perfect. And there was like no bullshit in them, right? Like I was like, right? Because I was expecting I was like, oh, I'm sure she'll say something like, well, you know, free speech is okay as long as it doesn't cross the line. And then it's going to be like, I'm out, right? You know what I mean? Like, no way, right? But like the answer to the free speech question was like 1, yes, 2, you know, whatever. Right. And I was like, whoa. Right. And then I was like, well, can you send me like a podcast? And then you sent me one. Right. And then I was listening to it, and like inside of 5 minutes, I was listening to you and your guest talk. And it was just, maybe it was less than 5 minutes. I was like, oh, I need to do this. Like, I agree with everything these people are saying. You know what I mean? Right?
I remember which episode it was. It was number 51, The End of the Ponzi Scheme with Tony from the Bitcoin Way. Awesome dude. He's so honest. I knew you would love him.
Yeah. And so I really like that. And so then that's when I sent you that long rambling message where it's like, okay, look, here's the truth. Like, I've been asked before, I always say no, or I get out of it or whatever, but I need to do this. But the reason this message is so long is like, I'm nervous about it, you know, and whatever, you know, I don't know. It's a really long message. And then right at the end, it's like, sorry, what I'm trying to say is yes. You know, but anyway, no, and I had a great time. So please go put your son to bed, and you know, we'll talk again whenever you want. Just let me know. And by the way, you mentioned you'd send it to me or whatever. I mean, you can just post it. I trust you. So
nice. I will. And I'm going to send you the link.
Okay. Yeah. Like, and I'll advertise it, right? You know what I mean? Best I can.
Nice. You don't have to, but if you feel like this is something you want to share, I'm all in, but yeah, no pressure at all.
You know, I don't really know how it came out, but I feel like it came out pretty good because I felt comfortable. You know, I don't know. But yeah, I will. And remember what I told you, like in the post, like for marketing purposes, I'm going to call you Alexandra from Spain. Right?
Yeah.
Like, you remember what I was telling you about, like, the minds of men?
Yeah, right? Yeah, like, exactly.
Yeah, it works a lot better. Okay.
No, but I'm fine with it. Now I'm thinking about changing my name on social media because I'm Alex on social media. And maybe it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you'll get a lot of creeps approaching you, but just, you know, that's easy to handle. But
yeah, fuck the creeps.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like text on a screen. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
But no, like all right. No, this was a lot of fun. Thank you very much for listening to me ramble. I don't know if we covered anything that you said you didn't really want to cover anything in particular.
Love what you hear? Then please support the Wildlife Unschooling podcast by checking the donation link in the podcast description. And leave me a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and connect with me on social media for updates. And please feel free to drop me a text. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for being part of this incredible journey.
Yeah, bye. Adios. Adios, muchachos. Nee, ich koche jetzt gleich. Ich will gleich auf zur Arbeit und dann koche ich.